When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Big Interview with Graham Hunter. This is part two of our Q&A show for January. I'm Neil White. I'm joined by Graham Hunter, the host of the Big Interview, and Pete Jensen from La Liga Television and our special guest for these Q&A shows. These guys are here to answer questions sent to us by our socios. There are listeners who support us on patreon.com/Graham Hunter. They receive early access, ad-free access to all of our shows, and they contribute not just to these Q&A shows, but to the interviews that we do with footballers and coaches. If you missed part one, then you missed a selection of questions on Football Club Barcelona, from their activities in the transfer window to their wranglings between current and former board members. Today we're going to move away from Barcelona and look at the rest of Spanish football, starting with a question from Robert McIntosh. Socio Robert McIntosh asks, do you see redemption happening for Anthony Martial at Sevilla? If so, what does that tell you about how his talent was managed at Manchester United? Sevilla did a great job, by the way, trailing and then announcing this signing on social media. Were they right to be so excited? Graham Hunter, what do you see in the tea leaves from Mr. Martial?
Let's go to our very own Six Panther on this one, because Pete has been spending some time in and around Seville. I have strong views, but I think it's right that Pete leads.
They're very excited about him, and well, they might be. And United, Manchester United fans might think, well, you're really getting excited about Martial. You haven't been watching him recently, but from Sevilla's point of view, I think it's seen as a signing that can, if not win them the league, certainly keep them in the scrap right until the end of the season. Graham's right. Sevilla did something yesterday. What was yesterday? Yesterday was Thursday, wasn't it? No, yes, yesterday was Thursday. Monchi spoke. Ivan Rakitic spoke. They're delighted. And Rakitic as well, saying that he thinks the arrival of Martial maybe even will help convince the likes of Diego Carlos that, you know, he should stay to the end of the season as well. And Monchi revealed a little bit later on in this call that as far as he's concerned, he spoke to Newcastle 3 days previous, and both sides put their negotiation position forward, and as far as Sevilla are concerned, it's closed, that, and then he's going to stay, Diego Carlos. So if that happens, if Diego Carlos does stay, with the signing of Tecatito and Martial, then they've had an excellent window, and they've made signings that will keep them in the race right until the end. Remind me of when Freddy Caruti arrived from Tottenham. Obviously a completely different player, but you wouldn't have heard any Tottenham fans when Freddy Caruti signed for Sevilla saying, what the hell are we doing getting rid of Freddy Caruti? And of course he went on to win, I think it was 6 trophies, and he's the 4th highest scorer in Sevilla's history. Sevilla is a strange place. It's like a convalescence home. That's the wrong word, isn't it, Graham? It's not a convalescence home. It's somewhere you go and you just, you know, they plug you into the wall and you just come alive again. It's a great place to play football. And even in the press conference, actually, Martial, at the start of the press conference, when he was presented the previous day, his kind of head was down and he wasn't looking at any of the journalists when they were asking the questions, and he looked pretty miserable, not particularly happy to be there. By the end of the press conference, there were a few jokes, as there always are, provoked by the mix-ups with translations and one thing and another, and he was laughing and smiling and looked as if he was having fun. And if the same things happens on the pitch, then it'll be fantastic. A quick word about Tecatito, by the way, named after a Mexican beer because he was signed by a club in Monterrey, and Monterrey was sponsored by just about every beer brand in North America apart from Corona, and his real name is Corona. So obviously when he signs, they say to him, well, you can't possibly put Corona on the back of your shirt, we're gonna have to give you a different name. And Tecate, I think Tecate is a beer name, one of the many beers that was sponsoring this club. And of course he's the smallest player, so he became Tecatito, and he's been lively when he's come on, and I think he started the last game. So two good signings for Lopetegui, and if En-Nesyri hits the ground running as well when he returns, and Diego Carlos Koundé together in the centre defence, they can go the distance. They can keep breathing down Real Madrid's neck right until the last weekend.
We're going to get to broader issues around Sevilla's title challenge, but right now, what did you think when they landed Big Ant?
I like any deal where Monchi is sure. Not every Monchi deal across his 21-year history at Sevilla has been an outright success. Very few of them have been failures. Very few of them have proven that they're failures that nick off to another club and suddenly erupt. His pursuit of Martial has been really firm, irrespective of just the simple numbers at Manchester United. I think Martial is not only extremely gifted, he's something that Sevilla don't have at the moment. He's got a burst of pace in small spaces that even the likes of, let's say, Papu doesn't bring. Neither En-Nesyri nor his very far down the line deputy Rafa Mir have got, they're both big and explosive, but neither of them have got the deftness of feet and the little slalom runs or nice wall passes around the area that this guy's got. Suso's got that on the other side, but he's been out for the majority of the season and has been a desperate loss. And we could go into other players, because Ocampos has madness in his genes and he spews it out all over the pitch and it's uplifting and it's crazy, and he's like an electric Ted McMinn, if you'll. And I think Ted McMinn was probably the model when they saw Campos playing at Marseille. But Martial, he could dribble past people in a phone box. His goal record isn't prolific, but he's got a decent record against, if you look at it across his career, his very best percentage record against a big club is against City, where he's got a healthy number of wins and a healthy number of goals. Other than that, he tends to score against stubborn middle-ranking clubs. And that's part of what Sevilla need to do if they're to win the title. And I like the idea that he's got a speed, a flair, and a show-offiness. He's a player that if he believes the team and the crowd are with him, he can produce special moments. I don't think he's a guy that whose character or whose flamboyance takes that club and that city by the scruff of the neck. But I think he is somebody for whom, as Pete hinted, Sevilla could be a marvellous platform. And they, if you look at their score lines, if you even look at their last two performances, where had they won instead of drawing, and frankly, they probably could and should have won both games, irrespective of the absences that they were suffering for various reasons. It was a cheeky wee goal they were missing. Now, you can find that in an out-and-out penalty box number 9, but that's far more difficult to produce than a Martial is. So without saying it's a guarantee, this podcast knows Martial inside out. I think that what we saw both at Lyon and at Manchester United suggests that Sevilla have moved forward with Martial. And if there's a click in terms of attitude, in terms of asking him to do the right things, keeping him fit, him loving the crowd atmosphere at Nervion. Let's wait and see. Pete's closer at the moment to Lopetegui much than I am. Lopetegui's a demanding, pushy, almost bullying kind of coach. That's the one I'm waiting for. But if that goes well, Martial can undoubtedly help Seville win a trophy. And remember, the Europa League culminates at the Nervión. That's where the final is held. So they've won it regularly. What they haven't done is won it in their own stadium. And that's an objective too.
Let's stay at the Nervión, stay with Sevilla, Lopetegui and Monchi. Is their title challenge, asks our sponsors Bet365, the reason they were reluctant to sell stars during the January window, such as Diego Carlos? Now, we are jumping the gun by a few days, but Pete, we're going to come back to you on this because you have been in touch with Sevilla much more recently. First of all, let's start by covering ourselves. Do you think Diego Carlos is still going to be a Sevilla player in 3 days? How much has their league position and their form played into their strategy this January?
Yeah, Sevilla believe that they've received the last offer that they're going to receive from Newcastle and that they've turned it down and he'll be staying. And the only thing that will change that is if Newcastle change their tune and make a ridiculous offer, which will, by the way, destroy Sevilla's title chances because it leaves them with so little time to get themselves sorted, even though we know that Monchi has a list of, you know, 10 players ready to step in for when eventually someone is sold. I think they can sustain the challenge. Sorry, that wasn't the question, was it? The question
was... It was going to come.
The question was, is the fact that they're going to sustain the challenge reason why they've been able to keep players or why they want to hang on to players? I think Monchi knows this is the time. I think Monchi knows that if it's now or never. I mean, he won't say it, but... the state that Barcelona are in is not going to last forever. Atletico Madrid are in an awful mess as well. And let's not get carried away just because they beat Valencia with a dramatic last goal. It doesn't change a lot about the situation that they're in under Diego Simeone. So, it's only Real Madrid. And Madrid have shown in recent weeks that, maybe Carlo Ancelotti's decision to pretty much not rotate in the first half of the season is going to come back to bite him on the backside in the second half. We'll see. Madrid are the clear favourites because they've got in Alaba and Militao, probably the best central defensive partnership in the league, and in Vinicius and Benzema, certainly the best attacking partnership. But if Sevilla have Diego Carlos and Jules Koundé, and neither of them are too depressed about the fact they haven't gone. Now, Monchi was asked yesterday, is Diego Carlos upset? And he said, well, I saw him this morning and he looked happy enough. The size of him, if he was upset, I might have to change my mind. So, he made a joke of it. Sevilla have a tendency for players not to get too upset and to see things out. And both Diego Carlos and Koundé, I'd imagine, will maybe leave in the summer. Sorry, Graham.
You know, it drives me into an absolute rage, this whole issue. So, sponsors Bet365... Here's my side of it. Pete's analysis of Sevilla is perfect. What about, you know, when I started in full-time journalism in the early 90s, one of the things that, you know, without internet, without Twitter, and without, you know, a great grasp of foreign languages, I decided to do in my own back was to phone up, you know, correspondents for Nantes or Panathinaikos or Mallorca and say, this story that's bouncing around, is it true? And predominantly they say, well, now that the club allows us into training every day, we speak to the president, it's not happening, it's a load of bull. And that was because clubs or agents in Britain would feed a line out to reporters in Britain, and reporters would call out, as long as I'm being fed, I don't care. Give me monosodium glutamate. Yeah, I'll put that in the paper. Well, bollocks to you. That is echoed now forward to 2022, where if I'm not mistaken, two things have happened. There is an intermediate with a very long surname that would work nicely as a Scrabble bonus answer, who's been telling people, oh, Sevilla will accept this much and I'm the intermediary. And Newcastle have shown the same visionary, clear-headed experience as they did in believing that if you get the yes from Unai Emery in football, that's an absolute guarantee. A yes is a yes in football. They've had a little tickle at going, it's only Seville. It's only Diego Carlos. Yeah, if we chuck in 25 million or 30 million, that'll probably do it. You're like, get a grip. You know, this fella is in line to win big trophies. This fella is living in a beautiful sunny climate. This fella, come the summer, should he choose to leave at only 29, will command the same sort of wages as Newcastle are offering. Centre-halves of his ability and size and pace are not 10 a penny. And he could sign if he wanted to leave Seville for a club that's not going into the Championship. So in all honesty, even though they were whispering worm tongue in his ear about how much he'd earn, which they were, why is this even a story? Munchie was quite clear that although the buyout clause was 85 million was what he'd say they were asking for, nothing under 60 million euros would even be considered. Newcastle didn't want to come anywhere near that. They've said in public they won't give players who are signing an opt-out if we get relegated clause. The whole thing stinks like 10-day-old fish. It was a joke. Would you like me to be clearer?
Conclusive. No, I think I have an understanding of your take on that now. Thank you very much. Sevilla, we leave there. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, there's going to be a little bit of Erling Haaland. We're going to have a little bit of Atleti versus Manchester United. More soon.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. I really hope that everybody who's listening to this has tuned in to both parts of the big interview that we did with Jan Aga Fjortoft recently. It was a brilliant chat, and one of the most interesting aspects of it was Graham and Jan talking about Erling Haaland, a player with whom he has a really good relationship. That's Jan, not so much Graham, as far as I know. The next question is about Erling. Finlay McDonald, hello socio Finlay McDonald, asks, how do you rate the chances of Eibar in their promotion push? And will Dortmund still have Haaland by the time they play the mighty Gers? Finlay is a Rangers supporter. Let's briefly start on Haaland. Given, Graham, that you were chatting to Jan, who seems to have a really good take on the kind of measured view that the people that Erling Haaland works with has of his career, do you think he's going to leave anytime soon?
I think that the question probably becomes null and void because at the weekend he scored and came off with an injury that, although I'm neither a Bundesliga expert nor a medical professional, is going to invalidate any idea of him going during this window. Secondly, the idea that he stays at Dortmund beyond this summer seems to me to be ludicrous. He's prodigious in terms of his development in that his play, never mind his goal rate, marks him out at the moment as one of these, potentially one of these extraordinary men like the three Swedes at Milan in the 50s, the Granoli trio, or Di Stefano, or Gert Müller, or Jimmy Greaves, or Ronaldo, or Messi, because his goal rate in a situation where he shouldn't be scoring at that age for a team which is reasonable but not all-conquering, and he can convert his scoring rate into the Champions League, means that at this stage he's marked down as somebody who's genuinely extraordinary. But if you look at the way in which his game's developed, if you look at the way in which he handles with equanimity the massive focus that's upon him, his the speed with which he coped with the move out of the Red Bull organisation and Dortmund, and the passionate yellow-black wall fans, the demands that are placed upon them there in the Westfalenstadion. To say that he needs another year at a club that isn't guaranteed to be winning big trophies and isn't guaranteed to be competing at the highest level in Europe, given that they were, you know, I didn't anticipate it, but they were roundly thumped in the Champions League this season, it's nonsensical to think that anything other than a brutal injury that rules out the summer market keeps him at Dortmund. So, yeah, you asked me about moving. Not this market, no chance. I don't think there really ever was. I think there's been some jockeying about what Dortmund can demand, whether there was a possibility of an extraordinary sum buying him now rather than when the different clause of about 75 million comes into play in the summer. There was some jockeying for position, but I don't think, Finlay, there was any danger about him being absent from Dortmund as a footballer by the time they play. Whoever they've drawn, no, Finlay, I can't remember who they've drawn in Europe, but the long and short of it is that unless he's injured, yeah, he'll be playing and scoring at Ibrox. And my opinion is that there's a slight advantage. I think the evidence tells us there's a slight advantage to La Liga clubs, slightly ahead of Manchester City in terms of where he'll end up. And I'm talking minor percentages. And the thing that excites me most is that I think, and Jan Aga Fjortoft, who knows, you know, Alfie, the dad, really well, played with each other. He's just this week been to interview Erling at huge length, Jan Aga has. And I think they take advice from him too, as the Odegaards did. So what I would suggest is that whether they like it or not, a media storm is coming about. Okay, we don't really need Messi and Ronaldo anymore. We've got Haaland and Mbappe. And it fascinates me to work out, does Haaland want to be at Madrid with Mbappe? Does he want to be at another club where the marketing goes crazy because they get compared all the time? Will that be a factor after the money and the trophy evaluation? I often get turned off by transfer market speculation now because there's literally so much candy floss rubbish spoken. But how that move evolves, the criteria upon which it's decided, that will fascinate me between now and the summer.
The other part of Finlay's question, Pete, I'll throw to you, which is about Ibar and their promotion push. What do you think the chances are of closing that out?
Well, they're top, so they're in a good position. They've got a very interesting player scoring all their goals, Stoichkov, whose name is not Stoichkov at all, but of course we have the tradition in Spain where you can basically be called anything you want to be called. And I think I'm not sure what his real name is. I think it's let's see if I can find it now. Here it is, Juan Diego Molina, but everyone calls him Stoichkov, and he doesn't look a lot like Stoichkov either, but he's got 11 goals. He got 11 goals last season as well for Sabadell. He's one of these players that hasn't played at this level He started playing at this level very late. He was 26, I think he's 28 now, and he's one of the top scorers. He's going for the second division Golden Boot. So with his goals, and of course the great story, if they do it, is on the bench, because Gaisca Garitano was the man who got them promoted the last time they got promoted. He stayed at the club for that first season. I think the first half of the season they went like a train. They were eighth. They fell apart in the second half of the season. They ended up finishing third bottom, went down. He, being the man of dignity and honour that he is, fell on his sword. And then someone said, hang on a minute, haven't Elche broken just about every economic rule that we've set this season in La Liga? And of course, Elche in the end were relegated. So Eibar stayed up, but Garitano could hardly U-turn, and in came Mendilibar, and the rest is Eibar history. So it'd be brilliant for him if for the second time in his career he can get Eibar into the top flight. We want them back, I think most neutrals do, because of the kind of club they are. And yeah, every chance. Although it's a real bun fight, the second division. It's the season seems to go on forever. They're still playing playoffs in June and July when everyone else is on the beach. So there are lots of twists and turns to come, but they're in a strong position.
Neil, I have to throw in, because Pete made it, and it's always, if you notice in these Q&As, it's always Pete that makes us laugh. So I do need to up my game a lot. But for a man born on Bonfire Night, Juan Diego Molina, his name's Stoichkov because his dad was so obsessed with Risto Stoichkov that the little kid, although he was baptised Juan Diego and I think goes by Diego, around the house, he's just called Stoichkov. And when he presented himself at school and he was asked for the first ever school register, what's your name? He said, Stoichkov. He genuinely thought his real name was Stoichkov. So you have to love that. You have to love that.
We have one more question for you in this month's Q&A show. Socio Tomley, Atleti V Man U's coming up. And he wants to know what your opinion is about the key duels. He suggests Ronaldo versus the entirety of the Atleti defence, Varane versus Griezmann, Ranić versus Simeone. So, Pete, where will this game be won and lost?
Yeah, Ronaldo against the Atletico Madrid defence is probably a good place to start. It's been pretty appalling this season. I think they're heading towards letting in more goals in one season than they've ever let in Simeone's 10 years. I think you could see it coming right at the start of the season, really, with the players that he had. It's only got weaker with the departure of Trippier, who was probably their best defender, certainly their best fullback. Savic is their best central defender and is too often not out. Their second best defender is Jimenez, and he's also too often out. So Ronaldo, I mean, I'm not seeing him on a regular basis for United. I understand that it's not been the dream return, but he'll still be majorly up for it in his favourite competition, and playing obviously one leg back in Spain. Simeone's tactics will be fascinating as well. We know that he went with the famous 6-4-0 last season against Chelsea, in both legs pretty much. Yeah, will he be sufficiently enthused by that dramatic comeback against Valencia, which they've got very excited about at Atleti, and it's seen as the kind of justification for going on the same way that they are for the next, you know, couple of seasons, and all their troubles are forgotten. It'll be interesting to see how Simeone lines them up. Griezmann, we're not sure how fit he's going to be, because obviously he's been out for some time now. One thing I would say is that I think they, you know, Mateus Cunha looks like a Simeone player. They actually, to come back in that game against, it was Valencia, wasn't it? It was Valencia. They basically reverted to Cholo ball. João Felix had to sling his hook. And, you know, they play the way that Simeone wants them to play. And he said after the game, I could see, I felt identified by the way we played in the last half an hour. And I think Cunha is a striker in the style of Diego Costa, not the same, but is a Simeone striker. And I think if he starts to build the way Atleti attack around him, probably at the expense of Suarez, then, you know, that might make Atleti's second half of the season better than it would otherwise have been. But, yeah, Ronaldo against the Atleti defence, I'd say.
Graham, what are you looking forward to watching?
It's Neil, it's such a balanced tie, because they're almost twins Atleti and United in their unpredictability. Neither of them are punching the weight of the quality of their players. Both of them have produced notable results this season. For example, Atleti away at Porto was an extraordinary game and an extraordinary performance, and it seemed to be the touch paper game. If you look at United's atrocious season, some of their wins, I think most notably against Spurs, for example, they started by winning away at Wolves and then recently lost at home to Wolves. They, even in the dog days of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, were still at the end of that massive 30-plus game run of undefeated away from home. They're so odd, each of them. And I think that from my understanding of Manchester United and the fact that everybody is clear that with the market still to close, they haven't got the balance in central midfield. Largely, Rangnick has gone for 4-2-3-1 with a 4-4-2 and Fred McTominay in the middle of the midfield. There is clearly a problem. I think McTominay is going to make it. I think he's an important footballer. I think he's still in that development stage. And while the rest of the team and the squad is injudicious and up and down, it maybe highlights his progression, but I think his progression will be sufficient. And therefore, what can Atleti do to highlight the cracks in the organising holding part of Manchester United's midfield? So whether it is Kondogbia or Koke or Rodrigo De Paul, about whom I think there's a little bit too much fuss made. Good player. There is a stat that says when he goes off, Atleti don't perform as powerfully, but his mobility and the number of things he does to make Atleti perform quickly rather than his brilliant use of the ball at length. Pete commentates a lot on Atleti, and therefore you're in a good position. You've spotted or you feel something similar.
He's a player that will admire his own pass just for half a second after he plays it, and he not everything he does is for the absolute benefit of the team. He's technically brilliant, but I think it's affected Cocky's game as well in a negative way. Good player, but the saviour of their season, the fantastic signing that's going to lead them to another title. No, absolutely not.
Not so. And therefore, because you don't only win midfield battles when you look at midfielders versus midfielders. It would have been a lot about what can Trippier do on one side and whoever played on the left. Would it be wing backs? Could you get superiority there, Tom? I think that's part of the answer. The way I look at it, moving away from strategy, is that when Bruno plays, Manchester United are exceptional. And when Bruno doesn't play, they're beatable. I think that if Atleti, pound for pound, have their best 11 on, and Cholo Simeone rather than Nelson Vivas maybe phones up Mona Burgos for some tactical advice about how to do damage to Manchester United, I think the best Atleti 11 and both teams on best form, I think Atleti win. Whether that's how things pan out when both sides have a real record of late goals. So I think it's a nail biter. Those who Tom likes to, punt on games, those who like to punt might look at the players who most regularly score late goals. And it's my opinion that this season David De Gea is playing at a better level than Jan Oblak. Jan Oblak is not awful, but this is his most error-prone season. And lots of that is to do with what's in front of him and what type of ball arrives at him or into his box, different from any season he's ever experienced before. But De Gea is regularly making the difference and Oblak regularly isn't. So I think it's massively balanced tie. And there's no point in predicting a winner now and saying, because of this, you can flip a coin. But Tom, there's so much time. I mean, because what is it, 17th February? I think it's 17th February at least. There's so much time. And I don't even know if I've got that date right, Tom. I apologise. That's certainly when Barca play Napoli. I think there's so much time during which you can see about the Varane effect. I think he's only lost one since he came back. United have only had 7 clean sheets in 30 matches, all comps. And Antoine Griezmann being fit and on form, I think he's probably back for the next club weekend. But is he fully fit and firing on all cylinders for United? That's another big, big factor. Good tie. Really interesting tie.
And that's everything for this month's Q&A show. Thanks to all the socios who sent in questions this month. Graham Hunter and Pete Jensen, thanks as always to you guys. And thank you for listening. Enjoy your football. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.